6 months in Nepal, God was continually teaching us things both individually and collectively. We have our own individual lessons learned, but we found that we mostly learnt the same lessons just in different ways through different situations and experiences. It wasn't until we talked about it recently that we came across one common theme, that being God's strength, as we touched on earlier with the orange squash. We are each going to go into our stories individually and share what God has taught us and how to do things in his strength. So most of you might know, we had a lot of illness in the team throughout the 6 months. We had a good start for about a month and then it hit. Callie was first, closely followed by Sarah and then Rachel. I managed to avoid it till about Christmas and then it happened again in February, but I'm quite impressed with considering what I was living with. So we continually prayed and asked for prayer for healing throughout all this sickness, but it dragged on for a very long time. Apart from the time when we were on holiday, I think someone was sick every week from about mid-November till early mid-March. Quite early on, maybe about a month into the illness, for me being the only well one, became really frustrating. I was really struggling as I didn't like spending all my time in the flat because I get easily bored. But then Kathmandu is not the easiest place to find things to do, especially on your own when you've not been there very long. After a few months, I think I learned to be content with the continued illness just because it didn't seem to be improving and it just became so normal. But I tried to focus on what I could do by continuing to go to all the projects, and even if that meant going on my own, didn't happen very often. But so what did God teach me through all this? I want to share this verse with you from Psalm 28, verse 7, and I feel like this sums up all that I discovered. So it says, "The Lord my strength and my shield, my heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him." It's so easy to say, yeah, the Lord is my strength, I trust him, and then life gets hard. Your faith is tested and that's it. You might start to doubt God and struggle to trust that he's actually there with you and helping you. But that's not what he wants. He wants you to be able to fully rely on him in all situations, good or bad. And that's hard to know, but we need to be able to declare that God is our strength and we trust in him no matter what situation we are in. Personally, I find it very comforting knowing that we have a God who we can rely on to get through the hard times. We need to trust at all times. He won't necessarily take away the situations, and sometimes he does, but it just helps us to become content and accepting that that is part of life and part of being a Christian. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers we would like our praying for healing, but he may do this so that he can deepen your relationship with him. He uses our challenging situations to mould and shape us as his children and to deepen our relationship with him. We can learn so much through the difficult things, but ultimately it helps bring us to where God wants us to be and how he wants us to be. Being a Christian is not easy. It's not, oh, become a Christian and all your troubles will just go away. But through these troubles, God teaches us valuable lessons. We just have to stick with it and trust that he will help us and we will come out stronger than we were before through his strength. I can definitely testify to this, from a difficult work life last year to all this frustration and various challenges in Nepal. At the time, it could be horrible and difficult, but now God is slowly revealing what he was doing at those times. It's not always a quick, simple, oh yes, that's what was happening, but have patience and through time, he will make it known to us in his time. You have to look at the bigger picture, the biggest story, and trust in him. Now, here's the tricky bit. We need to be able to remember to be joyful and thankful. When things are difficult, this is not what you feel like doing, and I definitely wasn't full of joy and praise. I got myself into a very negative mindset and forgot all about this aspect of my relationship with God. One evening, we're having some of our individual Jesus time, and a song that I have heard a number of times came on. It's called The Desert Song, and the chorus says, "I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here." And that's when it hit me that I needed to praise God, even through the difficult circumstances. Yeah, things were frustrating, but God deserves the praise and should be praised at all times. Without God and not having our focus on him, we are very weak. We need to turn to him and rely on his strength, not our own, to get us through. We're in a society of very individual minds and, oh, I can do this by myself, I don't need help. But that's not the way that God has made us to be. Through all the different challenges I had in Nepal, and there were quite a few, I had to turn to God and pray for his strength to help me get me through. I couldn't do things alone. So, I want to challenge you today. Can you truly declare that the Lord is your strength? Do you trust in him and believe he helps you? And can you still praise him in the good times as well as the difficult times? I'm just going to leave you with these verses from Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
When Nepalis go into a home or a church or something, they take their shoes off, so that we're all in our socks. not that's obviously the reason, not just because it's more comfortable. not move that because you two are smaller than me. we had so many great experiences in Nepal. We had moments when we were truly stunned by the beauty of God's creation. You've probably seen some photos from our blogs, and we'll share more in the presentation as well, of the incredible scenery, and it was incredible. And there were also so many moments where we were really touched by people's testimonies and things. However, of course, as Jenny mentioned, there were times that, although equally important, were a little bit less enjoyable during our 6 months there. And I think it was definitely through these tougher and more challenging times that I became acutely aware of my own weaknesses and limitations and brokenness. And it was through the times that I struggled with my mental health or feeling out of place in the culture or just being frustrated that one of us was ill yet again. It was through these times that God really showed me that I need his strength and in every aspect of my life and every day, because I really can't do it alone. And as it says in Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. Coming back to the UK, I've been really struck by just how comfortable life here is. We don't pray for the car to work when we leave the house every morning, and we just expect it to. There are so many examples like that, and it's quite a different story when you're hanging on to the back of a tuk-tuk in Nepal, into which 15 people are squashed, and you can see the dusty road from a hole in the metal floor. It's a little bit different from here. But I find that here, if we're not careful, we can be in danger of living our lives as if we don't need God. But I cannot save myself by my own strength. It is by his strength that I am saved. This truth became increasingly clear to me during my time in Nepal. I'd like to read a short passage that God really spoke to me through during the tougher times in Nepal. It's Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of destruction, out of the sticky mud. He stood me on a rock and made my feet steady. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many people will see this and worship him. Then they will trust the Lord. And the thing I particularly love about this verse in Psalm 40 is the fact that when many people will see what God does in our lives, they will worship him and then they will trust the Lord. And it brings me so much hope to know that God will not only deliver me from from the trials, but he will also bring others to him through that. And there's this quote that I love. It's by a man named Nick Vujicic. Maybe perhaps you've heard of him. He was born without arms and legs, and he's a motivational speaker. And in one of his speeches, he talks about a time when he met a little boy who was also born without limbs, just like him, and how much hope he was able to give to that boy's parents. And although Nick says he fully believes that God is able to give him arms and legs, he says, even if you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle for someone else. Even if you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle for someone else. And I found that really inspiring. The fact that God truly does bring goodness out of every situation means that I can learn to rejoice in my weaknesses and rest in the assurance that God's plan for my life is perfect. And God's plan for my life is perfect. And for so long, I thought the way to measure the perfectness of God's plan for my life was by my perceived happiness. But in Nepal, God has taught me otherwise. You know, I would pray, God, I know your plan is perfect, so why is there so much pain, and why is there so much suffering, and why are things so hard right now? But perceived happiness is the way that the world measures success in life, and not God. God's ways are so above our own, and we can really praise him for that. God has taught me not to be ashamed of my weaknesses, but to thank him for blessing me with them. And it's not always easy to be thankful for our weaknesses, but I think it's definitely a process to be learned. However, I do know that God's perfect joy is independent of our circumstances, and God's perfect joy is independent of our perceived happiness as well.
I want to talk to you a bit about trusting God's strength, which was a big thing out in Nepal that he taught me. As I was going back through my my diary, looking at what I'd written at the time about God's strength and what he taught me, I found an entry that I actually read to you in September when we were here in training. And there summarized was a page about trusting God's power and his strength over fear and my future and everything. And he told me that before I'd even left. I realized how much I need to be taught something before I actually learn it, and how much God has the grace to keep teaching me. I think God taught me about trusting his strength in theory, at training, and then in practice in Nepal, which makes a lot of sense, because you don't learn to drive through your theory alone. You've got to actually get in the car and face those roads instead of just talking about them. They say adjusting to a new culture takes three stages. First, the excitement about all the new things. And then the honeymoon period kind of wears off and you get your culture shock. Then the third, in time, you adjust to the new culture. For me, it was a little bit different. I started with a shock. The new things didn't excite me. They terrified me. I got very overwhelmed very quickly. Everything was very scary. And the prospect of being there for 6 months was daunting, to say the least. In time, I did get excited about all the new things, and I started to adjust, but then I'd freak out again. And the first 3 weeks, especially for me, was very up and down. And I got scared and I got anxious. And I started thinking, God, if this is your long-term calling for me, and I'm like this in 3 weeks, how am I going to cope? How am I going to cope with anything? What if God's asked me to do this? What if God asked me to do this? I can't do anything. I was scared and anxious and a bit of a wreck. But when I was praying, I felt God say, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And he gave me such peace as he reminded me, because he's the king of the universe, who created the tiniest atoms and molecules, which are the building blocks of creation. He holds the massive expanses of galaxies upon galaxies in balance, and he sustains everything. We don't physically have the brain power to comprehend this power and strength that is our God. He has no equal, and nothing could ever overcome him. No power, no force, not even death itself could hold our God. How mind-blowing is that? And if that's not mind-blowing enough, he loves us. He loves you and he loves me. Tiny, insignificant us. He sustains us, he surrounds us, and he's interested in building a relationship with us. So God said to me, why are you afraid? Why was I afraid? Why am I afraid? The Holy Spirit really showed me a glimpse of what it meant to love without fear of the future. He pointed me towards Jeremiah 1, where God's calling Jeremiah into his ministry. And God's like, hey, come do this. And Jeremiah's like, no, I'm too young and I can't speak and I can't do anything. And God's like, don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll give you the words to say and I will rescue you. And have you noticed that in the Bible, when anyone's afraid, he doesn't say, don't be afraid, you can do it. He says, don't be afraid, I'll be with you. I will give you the strength. So we know that whatever happens, however difficult, however scary, however unknown, we don't have to fear because we know who is and who always will be by our side, before us, behind us, surrounding us and sustaining us, allowing us to thrive and grow through whatever circumstance life throws at us. There is such peace in the knowledge of his power. And then what happened? I forgot again. And I had to be taught again and again and again. And that's something massively he taught me, is that I need to trust the power of his cross as well over myself, over my distraction, my lack of commitment, my forgetfulness, my human nature. I want to read you a bit from Psalm 18, which shows an amazing picture of the power of God. Sometimes I find some of the Psalms difficult to relate to because it talks about enemies and these big armies, and I'm like, I don't have enormous armies on my doorstep. But if you replace the word armies with fear or spiritual enemies, illness, depression, stress, money problems, work, family issues, exams, future, the sins that we do again and again, so much feels like an army when we're in the midst of it. But let me read you what that army is up against. It says in Psalm 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. Torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were at his feet. The Lord thundered down from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And then a bit further on, it says, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. For God, his ways are perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who takes refuge in him. There is such peace in the knowledge of God's power and strength, and that he will give it to us. So are we willing to trust, to let go, to dare to ask God to fill us with joy and peace because we trust in him? Do we dare to ask that he teach us something in practice as well as in theory?
Hello, it's really, I'm going to stand on my tiptoes. It's really, really nice to be back with you all, and it doesn't seem like 7 months ago we were here. It seems a lot quicker than that. I'm just going to share a little bit about what God was doing in and through me and challenging me within Nepal. And yeah, I've got to say that I didn't like it. He was really challenging me with trusting in his timing and being patient in the waiting. And as you all know, we were very sick and we faced a lot of illness individually. And it was really frustrating when you were well and other people were ill. And during the time of being ill is when I was challenged most. And as I grew frustrated and not being able to go to my projects, I got really angry at God. And I was really confused at why he would take me to Nepal and I was ill and I wasn't doing anything. But actually, that was the times that he was working through me most. I don't know anybody who likes to wait. Waiting is a hard work and at times can really test us. It's especially difficult when there are no guarantees that our waiting will ever end in this lifetime. Desires we long for, prayers we've been praying, and news we're waiting to hear can tempt us to be impatient, discouraged, and to worry, and even to wonder if God really cares. I really had to say to myself that God is in control and he never leaves me, because I felt so alone and being so far away from home in a different culture, things I wasn't used to, and not having my parents there with me. And although I had the support of the team and all the BMS personnel there, it was just so difficult. But I don't just want to talk about being ill, because that's in the past and I don't want to go back there. But he was teaching me to be patient in the waiting in different areas of my life. And so although it was long days of waiting to feel better and re-energised, I still don't know what I'm doing in my future. And once tour is over, I don't yet have a plan. And I know God does, but the waiting for him to reveal it to me is a struggle. And like most women, I have a plan of what I want to do far in the future, but getting there is a process that I don't really want to go through. In Nepal, I felt like I was actually really just so stressed about the future that I wasn't living in the present. And again, God was teaching and still is teaching me patience through waiting and trusting that his plans for my life are far greater than my own plans, and his timing is perfect. And I really struggled to let my own plans go so that he could work through me. When we came together as a team to plan for this weekend, we realised that God had been teaching us about doing things in his strength, but each in different ways. And I believe what God was doing in each of us in Nepal is vital for our next stages in our lives once our action team year is over. We will be leaving each other, which will be very strange after living together and being so close. We're all going to go our separate ways. And although each path for us is very different and we don't know yet what the next chapters of our journey fully looks like, and for me, not at all. And what we do know that is we need to trust in God's timing and believe that he has a perfect plan for each of us and all of us in this room. A scripture that God kept bringing me back to is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which reads, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness." He is the strength. His presence is the power. All we need comes through intimacy with him. And no matter what we face, Jesus is the complete answer. He doesn't give us what we need, then go somewhere else. He comes to stay. I felt God say to me, the power of his grace is not fully seen until my weaknesses were fully acknowledged. So God is the great mover. We are to push to work. And if we wait in patience, in patient trust, remembering that God is in control, doing his work, increasing our strength, we will experience more of God in our lives. And I am very, very thankful that God is a patient God when we are so trying and testing to him as well. So, I really felt like that. Through our time in Nepal, we each went through different experiences, but they all come together. And as we were a team, and we really had to stick by each other, and that was also really hard to encourage each other But yeah, God got us through it in his strength and not our own, because really I would have probably walked away from the team if I wasn't using God's strength, as much as I love you all. It was just so hard. We'd also like to say a big thank you to all of you that sent us emails and prayed for us in the Christmas package. Yeah, it was really lovely to have your support when we were away. So we got you a little gift that you can put up in the church. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.